Alright, welcome to our final section where we'll conclude our look at Project 4. We looked at most of the project last time, so I'll focus just this time on the web service related stuff in the project. So I'm going to go ahead to our website here, pull up the PDF for Project 4, specifically the specification, and I'm going to go ahead and open a terminal window for those of you following along at home. To nice.fas, I'm going to log in and go into my CSCI 259 directory and project 4, where I'll double check that I have a port number of 8080 in my case, and that's perfect. All right, so let me go ahead and zoom in here. Let's do this. Save this locally. Whoops. Saving the PDF locally, opening it locally, so it'll fill the window. All right, and here we go. So the first thing that hopefully you've all done is get the so-called access key ID. It should come back to you once you sign up for it within 60 seconds, but who knows what Amazon might be up to, so best to do that right now if you haven't already. I'm going to scroll down through most of the spec down to point... Let's see, down to, just double check, yep, number 8. So number 8 is where the user is supposed to be able to check out, and there's got to be some kind of way for the user to check out. The effect of clicking the checkout button once the user confirms and whatnot is to send, recall, the PO element, an XML fragment in the form of a PO element with any structure to it, as children and attributes and so forth, whatever you design it to look like, to the web service. And the means by which you're going to pass it to the web service is not via the sample code that we generated tonight in lecture 11 for the various web services applications, but rather you're going to use simply this process PO proxy method, which again, per tonight, I implemented just to save you the headache of dealing with ICE1 versus ICE2 versus ICE3. So that method is in your proxy class, which is in the source tree for the warehouse code. For the Scamazon code, because it's used on the client side, so to speak. So in proxy.java, you have a file that you technically don't need to look at, but it simply takes three parameters, the XML string, that is your PO element, the host name, and the port. You can actually figure out the host name and port by way of a Java property per the spec itself. So you can figure that out dynamically. You don't need to hard code that, nor should you. So those three lines there are very much access specific, and they simply invoke that warehouse purchasing web service. That's all there is to it. So the real takeaway tonight was not so much how this works, but how you would in general use it. So with that said, let me turn our attention back to the PDF. The spec simply specifies how exactly you should allow the user to check out. One of the interesting features of checkout should be ultimately that the user gets back some kind of receipt in the form of a PDF. So it's here where we'll look back at XSLFO. You don't need to do anything crazy complicated, because XSLFO, certainly to do pretty things, can take some time and some savvy. But I did provide you back in lecture 6 or so, was it? In lecture 6, with a few examples in that XSL subdirectory, in the example 6 directory. And in there, I think, was a file called order.xsl and order maybe .xml and order.fo. And that at the time was just meant as a sort of a foreshadow of what was to come and what is now here. Namely, it shows you how you might generate a purchase order in the form of a PDF. So you can look at that for an example, and I think it uses a table of some sort to actually display things in a pretty way. But prettiness is not the goal. Functionality is more important. So just get something that's functional, like you did with Project 3. I do offer a point here in point VI as to how you can integrate FOP into a servlet, because in the past you've largely done it by way of command line utilities and so forth. It's not hard. Simply look at the URL and the spec for how to integrate it into your servlet. And FOP itself, I believe, either FOP or either FOP or Tomcat itself comes with a file called fopservlet.java. I presume it's FOP that comes with this. And you can actually look at that for an implementation of an example as well. But the URL should be sufficient. It's not hard. It's really a matter of applying a FOP factory and so forth to your code. So it's in question 9 where you need to implement the warehouse itself. This can largely be done in poac.xsl itself. The idea of this is that poact.xsl is going to be handed that PO element. Inside of that PO element, presumably, is going to be enough information from Scamazon with which to decide if something's in stock or not. Recall that the warehouse has that other XML file called inventory.xml. And the idea, essentially, is that you're going to want to do a lookup in inventory.xml to see if there are enough of the items requested in the PO. And if so, return some kind of success message. And if not, return some kind of back order message. The format of these messages, totally up to you. But obviously, you need to implement both Scamazon and Warehouse sort of together in lockstep so that one understands the other. But how you do it is up to you. And I do note in the spec that even if someone checks out and therefore buys three widgets, you don't have to decrement the inventory's count of widgets. You can just assume that the quantities are fixed, and that eliminates some complexity to the spec, or to the project. Number 10, again, for 0 points, you wouldn't expect it to ask much of you. This is really just a walkthrough of how you would, in more of a real-world context, generate the stub and maybe even skeletal code that the purchasing web service might expose. You don't need to do this, but I offer you the steps to show you how you might, so that you see how you might in a familiar, hopefully by now, context. But it's really just meant as an FYI more than anything. So number 11 is really the final part of the project. And I would strongly mention now that you should, and I think as we spoke at the last section, a lot of the web service stuff you can do by implementing just the XSL file. There really was no need to understand that there was a web service involved. But I would bite off the web service aspect of number 10, get that done with poact.xsl, since most of your work thus far has probably been on Scamazon. But do reserve time for this Amazon component, simply because it is the last component of the project. It's in a decent weighting, and it's also the one where you're interfacing with an outside entity, so you don't necessarily want to save this to the last night to deal with something you've never seen before. It's not hard, and I give you an example which I'll pull up in a moment to sort of guide you through it, and you're not expected to do much with Amazon's web service. Really, the goal of the project is exposure more than it is expertise with Amazon's web service. So, with that said, what you're shown in number 11 here are a number of URLs, one of which is for the WSDL of Amazon's web service, one is for some of their documentation, another is for their API reference. So Amazon, the nice thing is, unlike XMethods, which you kind of get what you pay for, with Amazon's web service, at least it's documented in the form of a HTML guide as well as, I think, a PDF. So you can actually look up what the methods are supposed to be called that you might want to invoke. At the moment, I'll go ahead and pull up the WSDL file, just so you get a sense of it. This, too, you won't have to use yourself, because I generated those 171 files myself for you. But just so you know how this relates to what we've been doing tonight, if you pull up the WSDL file, this one's quite long, because Amazon offers quite a bit of functionality. But this is code that Access used to automatically generate all of your stubs. So how to use this? Well, if I go back to our command line here and go into ecs.java, notice that this is a servlet whose sole purpose in life is just to do a lookup on Amazon's web service of four books, namely the four ISBNs for the course's recommended textbooks. So this is a servlet that's really meant to be an example here for you, just so you get a sense and you don't have to figure all this out yourself. Notice you'll need to do yourself to play with this one thing. You'll need to paste in your access key ID. So if I try this now, it actually won't work because I would have to obtain my own access key ID and paste it in there, which is what number 11, I think, asks of you, or whatever the first problem is mentioned on the spec. And then you should just be able to get a sense from this sample code, really, how to use Amazon's web service. And to write this myself, I think, let's see. Yeah, to write this yourself, you can simply look up, not in the WSDL file, but in the documentation that Amazon provides as to what the various methods are. And I will again caution that Amazon's documentation leaves a little bit to be desired. It sort of requires that you infer more than you just apply some of the examples they've given you. So do look to these particular examples that we whipped up so that you have a sense of how to use it. But the short of it is the following. Here's a line, much like we saw tonight, get back the service. Here's a second line, get back a port, or rather this line here, get back a port. At this point, those two lines collectively give you access to Amazon's web service. So thereafter, the only question for you is, what methods do I want to call? Well, in this example, Amazon has standardized the means by which you interface with the service as follows. You create a search request, an item search request, and then you can configure a bunch of fields. This response group idea, search index, what index do you want to search, namely, what keywords do you want to search on. I passed in ISBNs, which is just this string that I declared up above here. And then finally, you do the following. If you actually now have the item search request, you essentially need to create an item search object. I'm going to set my access key ID to that, and I'm going to set its request to be what I just created a moment ago, and then I'm going to get back a response by calling port.itemSearch. So it's certainly more involved than the web services we've seen, and all of this can be figured out by way of the documentation. But to be honest, a lot of this is sufficient to get you going. The idea that I really intend with this is use this as perhaps as a basic hints for how to use Amazon's web service and look for these same keywords, say, in the documentation. If you want to figure out how to look up DVDs instead of books, if you want to search on author instead of keywords, all of these keywords really, no pun intended, should give you sort of a control F hint as to where to look in the documentation for the relevant code.
Those were outside the try catch box, whereas the examples we saw in class were in the try catch box.
These are, so let's see, if it threw an except, it would be, let's see, what must be the case, those methods probably could throw exceptions, but the signatures for them don't declare the exceptions as possibly thrown, so this does compile fine because Java C doesn't know that those methods might throw exceptions. So yes, this could probably trigger uncaught exceptions.
Okay, but those are actual methods that engage in transactions over the
yes.
wire, right?
Not so much these. The one that's engaged in an actual web request is item search.
Okay.
The rest of this is just client-side code.
Right, okay.
So yes, this should have been enclosed in some kind of try-catch. It's just Java C didn't know to catch it, so I didn't notice it myself. So what comes back? Well, again, according to documentation and such, you effectively get back what's called a search. You get back items, which you can get in the form of an array. There's a way to check for errors and such, which I offer here. But ultimately, what I do is the following. And this is where I introduce really by way of example and not by way of much emphasis at all. What I used in this was JSTL, which is the Java Standard Template Library, which allows you to, tag library, not template library, which essentially allows me to put all of my business logic, so to speak, in the servlet, and to put all of my presentation, the HTML generation, in a JSP. So notice what happens here is I'm setting the attribute on my request to be literally this array reference. Items, again, are the presumably four books that I searched for. I'm passing that effect, I'm tucking that away in the request object, and then I'm dispatching this same request over to ecs.jsp. So for the final mile, so to speak, I'm using a JSP to render the output. And this is really sort of a design pattern that, again, we don't focus so much on in this course because it's ultimately more about things XML than JSPs and servlets, but you can infer from this how you might sort of factor out your logic from a JSP and put it in a servlet. But you can certainly put all of this in a JSP as well. But it does beg the question, what is ecs.java? So if I go into my web apps directory now in Project 4, into Scamazon, you'll see ecs.jsp, which a week or two ago I said, don't worry about this for now. Now we can take a look. And this again uses what's called JSTL, which essentially allows me to, very much in the spirit of, you see things like this in ASP, even PHP to some extent, a lot more inlining and just iterating over data, but less logic. So here we have effectively an XHTML page, and notice now I'm using this for each construct, which is something you get by way of using JSTL, and I specify I want to iterate over the request object's items array. I'm going to call each such iteration item, and then I'm going to call essentially out of what value? Well, the array.itemsAttributes.title. Then .author, namely the first author and only the first author. Then the publisher, then the publication date, then the ISBN. Below that, I'm going to say reviews, literally. And below that, I'm going to have a little unordered bulleted list of all of the reviews for this particular for this particular response from the web service. And you're certainly welcome to Google around if you'd like people's usage of the Amazon Web Service to look at some of the sample code that's in Amazon's own documentation tree. Again, the point here is exposure, not to do something particularly fancy, but you should not, as the spec says, just integrate a search for the courses for recommended books into Scamazon, since that's rather done already. Okay. So you get a lot of things here by example, but that's, again, the point is the exposure to the web service. And you've already spent a good amount of time, presumably, on the rest of the project. So I think that's, number 11 was that. Number 12, we did that. That's number 9. Number 11 is about Amazon, which I can't demo here without having pasted in a access key ID, but you can yourself play with the Amazon, the ECS, what was it called? ECS.java yourself at home, so long as you paste in your access key ID, it will simply work. And if you visit the URL mentioned in the project spec, you'll see all of the reviews and information on those four recommended texts. And finally, the README in number 12 just asks you to summarize exactly what you did with regard to a few of the features. And that's it. So to be clear and to summarize, with regard to the purchasing web service, yes, it is a web service, and yes, you're using a web service, but so far as development goes, you're really just implementing a style sheet in the context of a web service. You don't really need to fully be comfortable with web services for that particular component. It's the Amazon final question that really exposes you to a real web service and asks you to engage with that web service. Those details for the purchasing web service are hidden from you by way of that proxy class. Any questions? If you're feeling at all like you only have 7 days left, you do, but this is the last of the assigned projects. After this, what you work on is up to you per those proposals. All right. Well, why don't we adjourn? I'll stick around if you have individual questions.